Welcome to another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos. My name is Elise Stevens, and today it's the fabulous Suzanne Matson. Yay! Suzanne, I think this is our third podcast together.
Could be. I even thought that we'd done more, but if you say so, I'm sure it's true.
Yeah, I think it's three, but they've been, well, this is the third, and they're all fabulous. And Suzanne is a coach, a speaker, does training in project leadership, and is the author of a book on the power of project leadership. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. It is so good to speak to you again.
I know. It's always great to chat with you. We always have such a great conversation, and today is no different because, Suzanne, you've got a new revision of your Power of Project Leadership book.
Yes, I do. I guess it's not a shame to say I'm quite proud of this one because I've added 20% new content and fully revised and edited it. So it's a real privilege actually to be able to do that.
Well, congratulations, because it's such a fabulous book, and to add more fabulous content to the book is a great outcome.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I really appreciate it.
Now, your book, as we've just been talking about, has recently been updated. Why did you think it was time for an update?
Well, it's interesting because I didn't actually walk around thinking, ooh, you know, second edition, because I wasn't really sure what the criteria were for doing a second edition. So my publisher spoke to me, and because I guess every area has change happening, nothing is static. And so if we want to continue to promote the book, and it's done quite well, but if we want to continue to promote it, I guess we needed to make sure that it was current. So I haven't actually removed a great deal from it. I've updated all the stats, all the failure statistics. Not that they've moved a great deal, but there were some changes. And then I've just added a lot of insight that has happened in, let's say, the last almost 5 years since I wrote the first edition. So when I wrote the first edition, which came out early 2015, at that point I was quite early on in my journey as an independent project leadership coach and trainer. So the content of the first edition was really based on my own experiences as a leading large projects for large organizations. But what's happened then in the last 5 years is that I have worked really across the globe. I think apart from South America, every single continent, I've either coached somebody or worked with organizations to deliver training or facilitation. So all that good stuff really was an opportunity to add to the book, because also what I've been doing in the last probably 2 to 3 years is I've been involved in running a large leadership program for very, very senior project managers. So we follow the project managers for 6 months, and we've trained almost 200 people now. We are at the 8th cohort. So through that work, I've really got much closer to project managers, their challenges, how they act when they sit in front of a stakeholder and attempt to have some of these very challenging conversations, how they get triggered, because we work with actors. And so all those behaviors, really the leadership behaviors, how in a conversation we can pause, we can ask more challenging questions, or we can listen to somebody, or we can, how we maneuver those, that minutia, that kind of really in the detail, and what makes a great leader in projects, all of that stuff was just such a fabulous opportunity to add it to the book.
Well, that's great. I know that a number of women I speak to have found your book very useful, and they often comment that it's their favourite project management book. It's great that you're able to add on to it and add more insight that you've gained through your coaching as well.
Yeah, thank you. That's nice to hear. The book was also translated into Chinese, and I've been told that the second edition has already been sold to China. So I guess it does resonate with people. We also wouldn't be doing a second edition if the publisher didn't believe in it. Yeah, I'm very honored, because when you write a book, then it's all about adding value. You don't really do it for the money, because none of us earn really any money on the book, because the publisher owns the rights, which is bizarre in a way. Certainly that's how my setup is. So it's all about adding value and giving something back.
And leadership's such an important topic. I often talk to people about sometimes project managers as leaders don't work. And in fact, I should give them a copy of your book, except a lot of the time think that they're really hot and in touch project leaders, that there's nothing wrong with them. And yet you think that their project style could use a bit of a refresh.
Yes, I guess we see that quite a lot, both of us.
Yeah, we do. I wish that more people, more project managers would take time to think about their leadership style, because they have such an impact upon those that are in their direct project team, but also amongst their stakeholders and whatnot. So it is such an important topic.
And I think project managers have more influence than they think, because I think it's quite easy for many people to fall into a victim situation. This is being done to me. We have limited budgets. We have timelines. We have these deadlines that we can't impact. And I have a team that I can't change, you know, and it's all hard work. But actually, when we look the other way, look at all the things we can influence, empower ourselves before we empower the team, it can make a huge difference. And project managers can have a real impact, not just on delivering the outcome of the project, but on the people they work with. So yes, I completely agree.
When you came to update the book, what were some of the changes you'd seen in project leadership across the years?
So it was interesting, because some of the trends that I saw when I wrote the first edition are, I would say, have become more pronounced. So 5 years ago, I don't think anybody spoke about VUCA. I don't know if you're familiar with VUCA. You know, we live in a VUCA world. So it's volatile, it's uncertain, it's complex, and it's ambiguous. And I'm sure that we still had those conditions 5 years ago, but that has become so much more pronounced. I think in addition to that, we already had a very competitive environment 5 years ago, but even more now, we are even more also interconnected with each other. We are more global, more people work from home, and technological change is continuing to happen faster and faster. So I think for me, all of this is expressed really through this VUCA. We do live in a VUCA world, which means that for project managers, nothing is certain, nothing is fixed. We definitely cannot just have a plan and expect to follow it. We also cannot just instruct the team. So more than ever, the project manager needs to learn to collaborate, influence, empower, and innovate. And I think that's even more emphasis on innovation than before. So I wouldn't say any of this is brand new, but I would say it's a trend that is becoming, it's more noticeable now than before. I don't know if you would agree with that.
I do. I know that interest in innovation and how we can change things, and I get comments back from people, well, that's all well and good if you're allowed to do that. But I still think that there's some capability to be able to make small changes and to show that it works without, I'm going to change the world, but just do small things to show value, and then people are, I think, a bit more open to it.
Yeah, I think that's such a good, we can improve and we can innovate in even the smallest detail. It doesn't have to mean come up with a brand new product, which is probably what we often associate with innovation. That is also innovation, but there are different levels of innovation. And we just, everybody now, because everything is so competitive, everybody has to think about how we can do things better, how we can add more value. It needs to be part of the way that we think, and it needs to be part of the way that I think project managers interact with their teams.
I agree. What about the impact of Agile on project leadership? What have you seen?
It's interesting, because Agile has obviously been a trend that's been going on for a while. I was trained Rational Unified Process about 20 years ago. And so when Agile came along, I was a little bit, yes, already a bit old news. Because I felt actually that some organizations, including one that I worked for previously, everything had to be agile all of a sudden. And I thought this is a bit extreme. And what I'm finding now is that there's more of a balance. Organizations begin to understand that maybe it's not about being waterfall or agile. Maybe we can find a middle ground. And by the way, many of the versions of agile that organizations implement is actually more a hybrid version, which I think is very healthy. I was speaking to somebody from the PMI yesterday who was looking to engage me as a speaker. And he said, we really want you to talk about leadership. And I asked about the other speakers. He said, well, we have somebody talk about agile. You know, not agile, agile, because we all know about agile now. We want them to talk about the flaws with agile, the limitations of agile. And I think that's really perhaps the place we've come to now. We've been waterfall. We've had organizations certainly try to be really agile and realizing that there are some constraints here because we still want the certainty. We also, you know, they want both. So I think that's really healthy if we get to a stage where we can say, how can we use the best of both methods? We don't have to be either or.
Whereas I still find organizations haven't even got to agile yet.
Oh, that's interesting.
I know, because you go in and you go, oh, you see all this onerous paperwork from the PMO. I'm sorry, I'm not really not bashing the PMO. You go, perhaps we could change. Oh, no, no, we can't change anything. And it's like, and then you think, oh, wow, you know, we could maybe, oh, no, not agile. You can't mention the agile word. Or I find that quite funny that maybe by waiting long enough, they're going to skip agile.
No, I find that quite surprising, although I do recognize that, that there are, of course, pockets. There are some organizations that are not very agile, whether they work in technology or not. They're just quite set in their ways. I think what's interesting as well, the more I work with personality profiling, the more you can see that certain personality types work not very well under a lot of change. And agile obviously is a little bit more fluid with change, because some personality types are very, let's say what's more important is the harmony. The more change and agility we have, the less harmony in a way there could be, because we keep changing, we keep upsetting the status quo. So it's very interesting to link it to personality types.
Do you think overall our capability in being good project leaders is improving?
I would like to think so. And so I think there's not an easy answer to your question. When I published the first edition, there was not much talk about project leadership. Now I find that the big organizations and also the PMI and here in the UK, the APM, and they're much more focused on leadership and projects. And that, for me, really comforting. On the other hand, I do a lot of facilitation, I do a lot of training, I do a lot of coaching, and I see many senior project managers who are not actually leading, and how challenging it is to change our behaviors when we really, you know, we're used to interfacing with people in a certain way. It's really difficult perhaps to go from more of an asking style to more from a telling style to an asking style. It's challenging to really collaborate if we're used to just consulting people. So I think there is this, first we need people to understand that there is such a thing as leadership, and I think we are getting there. That's changed. But the second step in changing behaviors is much harder. And I know from working with people continuously, it does take a lot of effort to change behaviors. It's not a quick fix. So I've seen some changes, but we have a long way to go still.
I tend to agree with you. And I think that sometimes project managers like a good shouty voice at, you know, the problem. If I just continue to talk loudly and hopefully someone will listen, you can see that everyone's turning off.
Mm-hmm.
It's all like layers of past experience building where people don't feel listened to and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, there'll be a last straw probably round the back to maneuver the project manager away or to do something. So
I think there's not all so the time. Much going on. You know, we have, as you said, we have our own past experiences. We get triggered by something, or we are just conditioned from all our past experiences. And then you have project managers who may want to change their style, but they also get squashed by the demands from senior management above them. And so they say, well, if we have time, I can ask questions and collaborate and listen. But in a hectic environment, they revert back to just telling and being more forceful. And so that's obviously missing the point. But I guess that's one of the challenges that we are still facing. And in many organizations, I run training, and the project managers say to me, I wish my manager had been here. Because if we don't get a change from top management, it is very unlikely that project managers and middle management will change, because that's just how it goes. We emulate behavior, and we need the senior leaders to set a good example. I know there's, in some organizations, there's a lot of executive coaching, and there's more leadership training, and that is definitely required for it to trickle down.
In a previous podcast we did, we talked about stress, and I think that what I've observed is that being a good leader is also, when you're at your best, you can be the best project leader as well. So yeah. If you're really stressed, or you're being hammered, or you've got anxiety, different things going on, you're hardly going to perform at your optimum level.
Yeah, and actually that is one of the areas I have added more content to the book as well, on stress management. It's not a whole chapter, but I've weaved in more insights on that. Actually, that's also one of the changes I've seen in the last 5 years. I used to not talk about stress management so much, but now there's a real demand for me to talk on that topic also from the PMI. And it's sad in a way, because it means that there is not less stress out there. If anything, there is more stress. And I really feel that my talk resonates with people, and that work resonates with people on stress management. And it's a huge topic, and I'm not sure that I know what way it's going, in the sense that are people becoming less stressed at work? I currently don't see that. I see that more and more stress being piled onto people, because there is budgets are being cut. People are moving organizations faster, which also means that it impacts the resources of the projects. And people want to do well. So it's a mix of organizations putting pressure on people, and the individuals not setting their own boundaries, because we now have smartphones. And it's very hard to draw that line between work and private life. So that there's definitely a development for the worse, I would say.
Suzanne, what tips would you give to project professionals about project leadership?
So obviously we can't talk on this podcast for hours and hours, so I would try and limit that. So and take a step back perhaps and say, first of all, project professionals need to set time aside for their own development, and also to observe the project's development. So let's look at their own development. To become a leader, to become an effective project manager stroke leader, it's important that each person invests in becoming a better leader. And that means time for self-reflection. It could mean time for listening to podcasts such as your own. It could mean time for reading books. And very importantly, time for asking for feedback and integrating that feedback. And that's a real leadership practice. Looking ourselves in the mirror is not easy, actually. And feedback is one of those practices that many people don't really like, because imagine if I am being told that I'm not good enough, or there's something I could improve on. Well, guess what? There's something we could all improve on. So that's the first tip I would say. Have some kind of practice where you reflect and where you have your own leadership goals. And the other one is have a practice where you regularly set time aside to take a step back from the project, where you observe and reflect on the project, because as we live in this VUCA world, as things are moving faster and faster, as there are more and more pressures on project managers, it's tempting to just dive in and run faster, try to run faster, try to check emails more quickly and frequently and all the rest of it. But the trick, obviously, is to resist that temptation and to be the leader who has the overview, who observes what do we need, what is not happening at the moment, what are we not doing at the moment, what is not gelling in my team, how are we behaving in the team, have we focused enough on our setting ground rules and how we want to work together. So all of that, stepping back and asking questions rather than just doing and telling, I would say is another very important tip at a very fundamental level. I have some other tips more, let's say, tools level or technique level, but I think these two are more fundamental to at least begin to approach the whole topic of development.
I think they're really good tips. I'll share one of those tips, but also add that I think it's important to have good leadership goals as well. And maybe it's part of that reflection. You know, I went into that meeting and, you know, I thought it went okay, but I could have done X, Y, Z better, or I could have, in that team meeting, I could have done a better job of doing X, Y, Z or something like that. So having that internal dialogue about what worked well, what didn't, and then next time I'll try X, Y, Z.
And are you disciplined enough, Elise, to do that on your own? Because some people have the intention and they don't do it, they don't get around to it. And so I might often recommend that people sit down with a buddy, with a colleague or a friend who also have goals, and they kind of ask each other, they hold each other to account. So how does that work for you?
I think that that's a great idea. And I think that with someone that you're comfortable with, you can talk about, oh, you know, I thought I did a really good job on X, and what I learned from that was yada, yada, yada. But, you know, equally so, I felt that I didn't do this particularly well. And, you know, the learning I took from that was Y. But if you're sitting down with someone that's not judging you, you get more likely to say, oh, you know, I thought I did this well, and not be worried that the person's going to think that you're full of yourself. And equally so, that someone's not going to use it when you open up and say, hey, I didn't do this well. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very, that relationship between those two people is very important for it to work effectively.
Yeah, I agree. But I think it can work. And I think you've just got to find the right person, the right trusting relationship, because they're going to tell you stuff too. And kind of got to be like the old cone of silence.
And what I really like about the buddy system is that the people, they not only do they get to share and be held accountable, they also get to practice their own listening skills, their own empathetic skills, their coaching skills. So there's so much value to gain from such a relationship.
Exactly. Well, Suzanne, as always, it's been fabulous talking to you.
Likewise, thank you for having me.
That's all right, and good luck with the new revision of the book.
Thank you.
That ends another podcast from Fix My Project Chaos. We'll be right back.